Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the unreality of the entire human experience and focus on the truth that we are spirit simply by believing we are human. In this show, we will discuss the complications that arise when false belief is treated as reality. Listen as we explain avidya, ignorance, as the futile attempt to know how the unreal became real. Awake, asleep, alive, or dead, there is no difference. Only one divine, eternal life. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the unreality of the unreal. So Swami, today's title of the show is Humanity, the Land of Make-Believe. And so let's get started. Let's talk about make-believe. I know as a child we used to do that. We would make-believe things in our playtime. How does that relate to what we're talking about this morning?
Yeah, we're talking about play and pretend. Just like we say in the opening, believing that we are human. And the collective consensus today seems to agree that we are humans with the possibility of a spiritual experience. We're a body with minds and perchance a soul. Here, what we're talking about is that in truth, we are spirit. And spirit is all. And so this human experience that we're having relies on belief for its existence. And by us believing that we are a mortal creature with an expiration date, we continue to repeat the cycle. We're in the cycle of death and rebirth. I always think about something that Ralph Waldo Emerson said, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it was something along the lines of, man is God playing fool. The more I study divine science and start to experience some of the benefits that come with this shift in awareness, you really start to see how what we were calling life before isn't life at all.
Well, when you were talking about us believing that we're human, it just reminded me of that saying that we catch ourselves saying to other people, well, we're only human, you know, as that excuse for when we do something not quite right.
Right. And to err is human, and to forgive is divine. It's an interesting thing. Like you say, we use that as an excuse because it comes under the whole dynamics of this human experience. The human experience requires approval. We're working with fear, which is the defense mechanism for this false sense of who we are. The closer you get to understanding who you really are, the more distance you get from this make-believe sense of self that most of us are stuck in. And without good leadership and people out there that are showing us a better way, most of us are willing to accept it. And as long as we can get more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience, then that's all we want. But at some point, you're going to realize that you are in a repetitive pattern. That you're born, you live out your karma, and then you die. and then you repeat your karmic pattern until eventually you seek liberation. And that's a big part of what we're talking about here with total consciousness, the freedom that they talk about in the Bible. Know the truth and it will make you free. Well, it makes you free from this cycle of death and rebirth. It makes us free from this belief in this false sense of existence that has an expiration date.
So let's talk more about to err as human. So what are some of the errors that we do as humans?
Well, I think the first error that we do is we accept mortality. We accept humanhood. And that puts us in the trap. We also believe in matter. A lot of us, I think, we believe that we're spiritual, again, working with belief, but we believe that we're spiritual, and that advances into a belief in matter. So even though we believe that we're spiritual, we also believe that we're material. We think we have a physical body, and we think that physical body has a mind. And so these are some of the things that, because, again, we don't have good leadership, we fall into this trap. And then you find that old saying that comes from Maine, you can't get there from here, that you can't find your freedom from a belief in matter, a belief that you are a human being. And so we have to shift our awareness from material to mental, and eventually to spiritual. That spiritual identity is the only way that we are going to expand our consciousness beyond the limits of mortality.
So you are saying that we have to make the shift from material to mental to spiritual to get off this karmic wheel that you had mentioned a few minutes ago.
Right. Once we have accepted mortality, once we say that we are a mortal creature, then we have to be born again. Just like it says in the scripture, we must be born again of the spirit this time. In Kriya Yoga, the way that we explain it is first you have to divide and conquer before you can unite and stand. Just like it says in the Bible, you must put off the old man. But then we have to assume spiritual identity. For a lot of us, we're still working with mortal mind, and some of the modes of mortal mind can be very confusing at best because you're leaving what's visible and tangible when you leave matter, but when you go into the realms of mind, you're moving into what is invisible but still tangible. What we find is that mortal thought won't get you far enough. And even though it's invisible, a lot of us are happy with that. And plus, you're making a lateral movement. You're shifting your identity from material to mental. But the confusion there is that you still think that you're spiritual, that you believe that you're spiritual. But in order to go all the way into the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, the truth of your being, you graduate from belief to faith. And that faith evolves into understanding. Because when your identity shifts from material to mental, eventually to spiritual, you'll start to understand that spirit testifies with deeds. You're moving out of the whole thing of believing and talking about being spiritual. And you're working with a demonstrable principle.
So let's talk more about the belief and what that does to thought. And I think you always say that belief is what gives thought power.
Right. Belief is what seems to give thought power. But belief can only get you so far. That was something that we worked with for so many years to emit your thoughts with the power of intention, to believe that you were good enough. And we were employing all of those strategies, but what we found was it didn't go far enough. That for somebody who really wants to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you must shift your identity to spiritual.
Now, there's a lot of people, like you said earlier, that think that they're spiritual. They believe that they're spiritual, but they're anything but spiritual. So what would be the indicators that they are really not spiritual?
Well, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says, and she puts healing on the table. Another thing she says is something to the effect, "Felt ye the power of the word? Can you say to the proud wave, no further, and it stops?" You really have to prove that you're spiritual. And just like I had said earlier, spirit testifies with deeds, not just words. So Mary Baker Eddy put healing on the table. And she said, if you cannot heal, and that's not just yourself, but to actually be able to look at somebody who is in a adverse condition and lift them out of that mortal thought about who they really are, because you're looking at the divine idea of that individual. And that will correct the condition. That's an important thing that I find is missing in most of our spiritual communities today. Like you say, we believe we're spiritual, we declare that we're spiritual, but we're not living under the dominion of spiritual power.
So if somebody wanted to prove that they were spiritual and they were to demonstrate it, what would that look like?
Well, it would appear to mortal sense as a healing, as a correction from discord to harmony, from lack to abundance, that it would actually have to show the spiritual qualities of thought, as opposed to oftentimes we're working with appearances that have sin, sickness, suffering, disease, lack, limitation. And without making it demonstrable, without proving what it is that we think we're doing or what it is we think we believe in, we get lost in mortal thought.
Swami, in our Theory 2 classes, you have been saying for years that like attracts like. What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Yeah, see, what we're talking about here is the difference between being in true spiritual identity and believing that you're spiritual. Because what we're finding is that the entire human experience gets its sense of reality from belief. And like attracts like. So if you believe you're human, you believe you're spiritual, you believe in God. But it is only spirit that gets spirit. And in truth, spirit is power. In fact, it's the only power in this universe. It is a demonstrable principle, and it must be proved.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to get into some of the statements in the opening, especially when we said we were going to discuss the complications that arise when false belief is treated as reality. I'm sure we may have touched upon this before, but wondering if you could maybe dig a little deeper.
Yeah, well, this is what we were talking about earlier, about the belief in matter, the belief that you are human. Those beliefs are treated as reality. That's a tough pattern to break. Most of us are happy to get more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience. And then when what we think we're doing is working, and then all of a sudden you find that belief only got you so far. And then at some point, you're going to probably try and know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When that happens, you'll start to see some of the things that we started to learn, which was that there are modes of mortal thought, that you're not just dealing with something that is shaken off pretty easy and you just shift your belief, because it's belief that we have to come out of when you accept truth. But the benefit that comes with that is that truth dispels the error. It will dissolve the false sense. But where you'll find a lot of challenge is oftentimes, is like we said in the opening when we talked about avidya, ignorance, where we're mistaking the unreal for the real. And of course, when we do that, we continue to perpetuate the problem, because you're limited to belief and you're not working with the power of spirit, the power of the one divine mind.
So the phrase, or I should say the term avidya, meaning ignorance, is us believing that matter is real.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that it plays out. The impermanent for the permanent. We're missing the mark. That was the term sin that they used. And the other term was evil, which is anything that isn't the mark. To find out that this entire human experience is the sin took me quite some time to really digest. But the more that you start to see, there's only one way to break this spell, this hypnotic state, this belief in two powers, is to have faith in the one power, the one divine life. And that's what spiritual identity actually is. Spiritual identity means that you are coming out of the many, the belief in the many, and you are now leaning on the one divine life.
Well, in the opening, there is that sentence that says, awake, asleep, alive, or dead, there is no difference, only one divine eternal life. Are we talking consciousness here?
Well, that's what we talk, consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part, the level of belief is all we're ever experiencing is our thought. And it's mortal thought. It's a thought that is based on human conjecture. You're not working with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because you're in the rational. You're in duality. You have a belief in two powers. That in order for us to rise into the one, and not just thinking about it or believing in it, but becoming spirit. Your whole sense of self now shifts, and you are now the expression of an indestructible principle. But until you have achieved that level of understanding for yourself, for the most part, we're still a human thinking about being spiritual.
You have always said, change how you think. And then Mary Baker Eddy says to think with God as God. So how do those two things correlate together?
Right. I mean, to just say to somebody, change how you think, that's such an abstract, vague human advice that most of us seem to be okay with. But Mary Baker Eddy is very specific when she says you must think with God as God. And the command in the Bible, when it says repent, it means think differently. But just how different that thinking they're talking about is that you must move out of the modes of mortal thought. And we've talked about this in a number of shows, that you have to leave the lower mind, which is represented by Gemini. Instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. You have to come out of the mid-mind, which is represented by Virgo. Human intelligence, perception, reason, memory, intuition, based on the testimony of your senses. And you have to come out of the higher mind, represented by Sagittarius, which is the collective consciousness. And we have to come out of these because they're rational, they're dualistic. And then what we have to do is make our mind move it into its rightful position of awareness for the presence of divine mind, which thinks in the absolute. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. And so it doesn't think in the same mode. That's why spirit doesn't report in our five senses. Spirit is whole, it's complete. And as our identity moves from being one of many on the human scale into the one divine life on a spiritual scale, that's how you start to change, in the true sense of the word, your thinking. But again, you're not a human thinking about God, thinking up to this divine omnipresence, but you realize that your mind is the mind of God, and you are now thinking out from divine mind, thinking in terms of the absolute and not the rational.
So when that happens, are we talking that that's the demonstration and therefore that is when we would be, say, blessed?
Well, see, the formula never changes. How we think is what we become. Now, if we're thinking mortally with our five-sense mortal mind and we're working with belief, we can change finite bad to finite good. And like I say, most of us are quite happy with that. But in order for us to graduate and to now think with divine mind, that truth of being, the divine idea, will correct mortal thought and will externalize as divine perfection as opposed to human conjecture.
So let's talk about the people who think that they have been blessed with good lives or good health or good relationships and so on and so forth. And then we have people who look at other people and say, oh, there's such a good family. Why do bad things happen to good people? We have two different ways of looking at things. So how can you shed some light on that for us?
Well, I think that's something that you've got to ask that question. I mean, do you ever wonder why bad things happen to good people? Prayers aren't answered in favor of the request. Did it ever occur to you that what we're calling life isn't life? For me, it was a wake-up call to find out that what is reporting in my five senses isn't what is really here. To now acknowledge the presence of the divine idea, to live above corporeal sense, and to have fidelity to that invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, and to just let it express itself through me and watch it correct what's going on my corporeal sense level. That's what we're talking about. To demonstrate this is what it's all about. It's not just to sit around and ask your belief in this eternal, spiritual, divine being for favors, and to think that the divine could communicate with the mortal. It doesn't work like that.
Now, should we also be cautioned about putting labels like good and bad on our experiences or what's going on in our lives? Because that would be creating a judgment, and we don't want to do that either.
Well, like you said, that's corporeal sense level, that our senses work on contrast because they have a belief in two powers. Now, once you move into spiritual identity, into the one divine life, there are no opposing forces. That spirit is absolute goodness. Spirit is absolute love. It's not love that can become hate. And so, yeah, when you're thinking with God as God, you're above corporeal sense, and God is too pure to behold iniquity.
I see that we have a quote here from the scriptures that says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Sounds like this is what you're talking about.
Right. That quote that we have there comes from Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 207 to 208. The quote here, I'll read it. "The spiritual reality is the scientific fact in all things. The spiritual fact repeated in the action of man and the whole universe is harmonious and is the ideal of truth. Spiritual facts are not inverted. The opposite discord, which bears no resemblance to spirituality, is not real. The only evidence of this inversion is obtained by suppositional error, which affords no proof of God, spirit, or of spiritual creation. Material senses testify all things materially and has a finite sense of the infinite. The scriptures say, 'In him we live and move and have our being.' What then is this seeming power, independent of God, which causes disease and cures it? What is it but an error of belief, a law of mortal mind, wrong in every sense, embracing sin, sickness, and death? It is the very antipode of immortal mind, of truth, and of spiritual law. It is not in accordance with the goodness of God's character that he should make man sick, then leave man to heal himself. It is absurd to suppose that matter can both cause and cure disease, so that spirit, God, produces disease and leaves the remedy to matter." She's really kind of letting us know we're going about it the wrong way.
Well, I think it's time we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner when that comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show. If you click that on, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also the products tab. If you click that, go to online classes. That will bring you to all of the classes that Swami has available to further your spiritual developments. So Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the unreality of the unreal. With that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.